KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop? Transformers! Defenders of
truth! Robots who fight in disguise! Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 209, recorded July 22nd, 2016. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, buddy.
Sergio Garcia.
How's it going?
And Plasticon.
Hey, of course, I'm back. G2 never dies. You guys know that.
You need to get a series of just really bright, flashy neon shirts and a neon hat to wear every time you're on the show.
That's a good idea, and I might actually work on that here in the future.
Yeah. And what you could do is like cut out, like get some cardboard and make a cardboard frame around you that's a CyberNet space cube. And so you're sitting. so basically, you're broadcasting from inside the CyberNet space cube.
That's an excellent idea.
And even better, maybe have it at a center point behind you that it can rotate on, like, say, like something that you could maybe like rotate it at.
It out of styrofoam. Yeah.
Striving to save the podcast from boredom. It's Plasticon Generation 2.
Exactly.
Plasticon. Oh, don't give him idea. I mean, too many ideas, and we're going to wind up having something that looks like, you know, New York on Christmas Eve. Just boom,
my eyes.
It's like my eyes. It's like someone took Sentinel Prime and combined it with Goldoran.
My eyes are bleeding. I looked into the Ark of the Covenant.
Right, that's great ideas. Thank you. I'm actually jotting them down right now. Yes.
I'm sorry. Goldoran is great if you know you're brave. Sentinel Prime is great. He's very orange. Goldoran's very gold. Together, it would be like just a beacon you could see from Pluto.
By their powers combined, oh they God, are Captain like, Brave.
I probably should get the one that has more of the translucent parts. And the parts that are not translucent, do those like in a gold chrome.
Well, now the
that would be like an unbelievable custom. I might have to do that.
I think the San Diego Sentinel Prime does have some translucent parts on it as part of that free pack.
He does.
Interesting.
Most of his body is translucent.
That kind of brings us to what we're going to be talking about tonight. You know, we're a little bit different as far as our subject matter. We don't just talk about the news and everything. Oh, beat still my little heart.
Shock. Amazement.
If you're new to TFYLP, we're more of a topical discussion amongst the fans and the fandom. We talk about things that are heavily toy related within the Transformers hobby, whether they be official or third party. And we kind of discuss as fans amongst ourselves our thoughts and viewpoints on certain things. Now, we will talk a little bit about some things that are in the news right now. For example, last weekend was TFCon in Canada. We saw quite a few reveals at the show.
Quite a few understatement.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about some of our favorites. We're not going to hit on every single one. We're not going to bore you with the list of everything, exhaustive list of everything that goes on. But we'll just talk about some of our favorites. I know I have mine. I think everybody knows which one that is.
Surprises, Duran. Please keep us in suspense to the end of the podcast so we can find out which one it is.
It's kind of like you with RC, Don. I mean, I'm pretty much a given.
Yeah, some things are a given, huh?
Yeah. And then we're going to talk about the San Diego Comic-Con. Hasbro had their little breakfast thing. They showed off a few figures that we absolutely, a lot of us really, really want to have. And then the main discussion tonight, we're going to talk about the Chinese impact upon our hobby today. It's possibly something that maybe you haven't noticed, or maybe you have and really haven't thought that much about. But we're going to talk a little bit about implications, things that that have spawned from the Chinese impact on the hobby.
Don't eat the microphone cord.
And we're going to have an instant Massey attack. So, you know.
No, he's trying to eat the cord. Usually he chases the shadows, the cord makes. But I think he discovered what causes the shadows. So he wants to eat the cord.
Cats.
Yeah. I guess if Don can't hear us anymore, we know exactly what happened. Yeah.
Oh man, the audio listeners are missing a treat.
But you know, I want to remind everybody that especially if you're new to the podcast, you can follow us at TFYLP on Twitter. You can interact with us while we're live, or you can send us questions and feedback, even if you're listening to us on the audio only version, which is available on iTunes, Google Play Store, and many other outlets such as Blueberry and let's see here, Double Twist, other places like that.
I know. Now I know how they felt on the boat in Jaws.
Don, you need a bigger boat.
Yeah, I need a bigger chair, apparently.
Scourge isn't going to work anymore.
Also, I want to remind everybody that this show is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Captured Prey, great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com, where you can save even more with free domestic shipping on orders of $150 or more. Plus,
he's done this before, people. He really has.
Yes, yes. I'm really tired. I've had a long week here, so please bear with me. But also, Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. You can find Mega Toy Fan at the biggest toy conventions year round, such as TFCon, also coming up October, TFCon USA in Chicago, Illinois. We'll be there. You can find Mega Toy Fan there, and you can maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan.
He's currently going to Florida.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Is there a con he's going to, or is he just going there?
I think he's just going to go down there and try to do his best Optimus Prime impersonation and get really red in the Florida sun. Because, I mean, he's going to look as red as the coat chair in Sergio's background. You know, he's all pale and everything because, well.
He needs some sunlight.
Yeah, he needs some sunlight.
Just a little bit. I mean, yeah. I do actually have word that he is possibly going to be going to the Acme Super Center, which is a really awesome comic book shop there close to Orlando. So if you guys see him there, I'd be able to hook up with him and see if maybe he might be able to hook you guys up with something.
And you'll know it's Mega Toy Fan. You know it's Brett because he's really short and he looks like one of the other kids in there, just older. So
he's just the bald one.
he's got a little hair. He's looking around like, you know, hey, maybe I'm in the wrong element here. No.
He looks like Opie just slightly grown up. This is so much fun when he's not here to get me back.
Yeah.
I will pay for it next week, I'm sure.
Yes, we all will.
Also, as of note, TF Expo, Wichita, Kansas, coming up here in a couple weeks. I've been talking to Phil Searle. Hopefully he'll be on the show next week, time permitting. But if you're in the Central American region, check out TF Expo in Wichita, Kansas, the weekend of August 5th. I know I will personally be there, along with our sponsor, Capture Prey. I'll be helping out at the booth there. And you can also meet the voice actors, Michael Bell, who is the voice of Prowl, Swoop, and a number of other G1 characters, as well as Beast Wars Megatron himself, David Kay, will be in attendance.
And Animated Optimus.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. Animated will be having an anniversary here before too long. And think about that for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys probably looked at the page in the private group that I shared, but I happened to stumble across my original website from 2002.
I clicked on it a little bit before the show.
Yeah, I was like, this is awesome, but wow, how things have changed. I mean, the most recent thing on there is like Transformers Armada. So, wow. Yeah. Some ancient things on there, but let's get into our topic of discussions tonight. First off, let's talk about TFCon from Canada last weekend. Don, what was your favorite thing that they showed last week?
Black Zarak from Pandanus. Ever since Pandanus was announced. I was hoping it would be a Black Zarak, just because there is no good way to afford a G1 Black Zarak without it being Schrodinger's Black Zarak. Is it intact? Is it in pieces? You never know. Do you open the box? Do you open the box? Hell no, you're too scared to. So,
and if you open the box, you've ruined the value of it. So
there's that too. So even with the price that it's usually running around $350 to $379. A lot of places you can get free shipping due to the amount or reduced shipping in general. But I'm just really glad this is getting the Black Zarak treatment. I know the aesthetic. I think I was watching a review on it from one of the major reviewers, and they said that if you're not worried about aesthetics fitting in on a certain shelf and just want a good representation of, say, Scorponok, they were really impressed with Pandanus. I'm really looking forward to the Black Zarak, even though it may not fit on any of my shelves as from an aesthetic standpoint. I'll finally have a visually impressive Black Zarak.
Yeah, it may not even fit on one of my shelves, period.
You know, there's that too. Oh, so that was the main thing. The second thing I have not seen a picture of yet, but I'm still playing catch up from working all week, is the third party Maki Toys Target Master Point Blank, which I think they're calling Close Shot, I believe. He is my favorite Target Master from the G1 set of cars, the big Target Masters.
He was the only one I had as a kid.
Yeah, so I've always liked that design. I've always liked the robot mode. I've always loved the car mode. So I'm looking forward to this interpretation. He may be the only one I get just because of my love for that one mold, but I'm looking forward for that one. But Pandanus mostly as a Black Zarak.
Yeah, the Pandanus I've been wanting to get so badly, but there's so many other things out there right now. Yeah. It's like my fingers hovered over the click, the purchase now button a couple times, and then I'm like, no, I need to pay for this and this and this and this and this.
Well,
and this.
You know, it's just, yeah, and I just sold something on eBay, and I'm already looking at, okay, do I want Gewalt? Because Gewalt looks so, and he is huge. He's a very impressive piece.
Yeah.
You know, there's that plus everything else coming out. So yeah, it's.
I'm holding out for the Fans Toy version because Fans Toys has really won me over with their design, aesthetic, and quality.
Yeah.
And I'm holding out for the I can't remember what they called their Blitzwing, but it looks amazing too.
Well, what about Phoenix Was that one of your? Is that on your short list?
It is now because Fans Toys is doing it. Because I mean, it looks good, and I have faith that it won't be as much as a parts former as Kaka Toys. Their Kronos or whatever it was called.
Careful, you're treading on.
I know it's your favorite third party toy, but it's
not my favorite. It does have issues, but visually in robot mode, it's Skyfire. Like I said elsewhere. So, you know, but I mean, you know, it's like I've already started getting ribbon from some people. It's like, yes, I like Phoenix. Yes, it's visually impressive. I may get it. I may not. I'm still not selling Kronos though. So.
I mean, it's kind of like me with some of my third-party pickups. You know, if there's an official version of it released, I'll keep my third-party version. Like the I've got the Maki Toy Hellfire that we're getting an official Inferno, but I like the aesthetic so much on Hellfire over the official one. I'm keeping my Hellfire just because I like its aesthetic better. It's got the chunky lower legs and more detail. I like that.
I actually had one lined up at a very good price, and the transaction fell through. Mm-hmm. Because I was going to get Hellfire because I got him for about 75 shipped, and the transaction could not be completed for various reasons. Because I was going to get Grapple from the Inferno mode. That way, both look a little different, but they're still similar enough to be Inferno and Grapple. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I almost misspoke there. The Phoenix does look really, really good. But I'm going to let everybody's suspense hold on just a little bit longer for what my favorite one was. And then I'm going to move on to Sergio. What's your favorite reveal from last week?
Definitely the Make Toys remastered Despotron? Megatron? Yeah. They did the silhouette teaser a couple months ago, and that already had me interested, but finally seeing the gray proto, I'm sold. I've been waiting just way too long for Takara to do their own. I held out on Apollyon because of all the QC issues that I've heard.
I didn't. I still haven't opened mine.
Yeah, and I knew that waiting would pay off because Make Toys has a long track record of having really good quality figures. So yeah, even though this one admittedly is a bit chunky for some people's taste, I really think it looks amazing. I mean, a Megatron, he's supposed to be bulky and menacing, in my opinion.
Well, Sergio, if it makes you feel any better, Diecast from RFC was at TFCon and actually hailed a Despotron. He says it is an absolutely awesome figure.
I'm really excited for that one.
So he had one in hand and says it's an awesome figure.
It makes me glad that you know, speaking of TF Expo, just last year I was at the show and setting up with Captured Prey and I picked up the X-Transbots Apollyon. And I was holding it, and he had like two or three of them there. And I had the money for it. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to get it. And I walked over, and I'm like, I sat it down. I'm like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And I took it back, and I put it back. And I'm glad I did now. Because
remember, back in BotCon 2015, so last year, I actually went to the Captured Prey, the room sale. And I remember I was in line with it in my hand. And I turned to the guy behind me, and I'm like, oh, so I saw him with a poly, and I'm like, oh, you're getting one too? He's like, no, I'm returning it. The arm broke. I was like, oh, you know what? I'll wait.
I kind of wish I had waited, but last year when it was in St. Charles at the show across the street, I wound up getting an Ultra Magnus for a friend and my Apollyon for about $130 each, buying them both. And so for Magnus, that was a good price. And for the Apollyon, that was a pretty good price too. So I wound up getting, because I bought both, I was able to help him out with his need of a Magnus. So
awesome. Now, Plasticon, I know you don't collect a whole lot of third party, but was there anything that really jumped out at you as really impressive last week?
To be honest, I'm actually kind of interested in that Sphinx, the one that's actually got the clear bits.
Yeah.
That thing, by the way. That is probably some of the coolest paint job I've ever seen, to actually see to something that comes out that doesn't really need very much customization. And that thing, honestly, I think if somebody actually had like a lit table, that thing would look insane lit up.
Well, now I've got regular Sphinx, and it is a phenomenal figure. It's solid, it's hefty, but it's still slender, like Mirage should be. I've got the Kokomo version of the Invisible Mold, but mm-hmm. Sphinx is a much better Mirage.
The engineering, because I've seen several reviews of the original. And I was like, that's pretty decent. The transformation doesn't look like it's too clunky or anything. But then they come out with this translucent, and I'm like, that's cool. But something I kind of wish they would probably do is you have two tires that are not translucent. It'd be neat if they packaged two translucent tires in there so you can swap those out so it actually has four translucent tires. That'd be insane.
Well, the way it is, half of it is becoming invisible, and the other half is not. So it's got two white tires and two black tires. But I was actually lucky enough to score one. I probably won't be able to pick it up for a couple weeks, but I've got one secured for me, and I can't wait. Especially seeing as how much they're going for on eBay now. Mm-hmm. I feel really, really lucky.
I completely snoozed. My friends, I'm in a group chat with local Transformers collectors here in Chicago, and they told me that it was going up on Aegis 3 and up on Wednesday night, and I completely forgot. I sat down to watch Netflix, and by the time I checked my text messages, they're like, yeah, we already got ours, and I was like, oh, crap. Hurried over to Aegis 3 and up, put it in my cart. When it entered all my credit card info, hit proceed to checkout, gone. Sold out in like 3 minutes.
You Netflixed and chilled a little bit too long.
But I mean, oh well.
Well, I mean, there was that, and then there's that. Was it like a six pack of the little Diaclone figures that they're releasing too?
I think those were they were meant to be at the show, but they were delayed. But I think they're putting up them on their website.
I mean, those things look really cool too, because I know a lot of the guys that collected the Dinobots that came with those little figures. From what I've heard, the guys that don't really like that figure, they've been selling the figure by itself separately to get rid of it. But there's a pretty good pool of people out there that want these because they're pretty neat little figures in themselves, and they actually have magnets in the feet and everything. It's just insane, just the engineering behind those. It's cool to see that they're actually doing like a pack that's got it's almost like a Devastator orange, or not orange, but the Devastator green. And then it's got like this one that's like a silver and red, another one that's a blue and red, and then two of them that are green and black. They're almost like clones. And then they got like a black and red one. And it's kind of interesting how you can probably just kind of place those guys just with almost anybody in like, say, your Autobot arsenal or something like that as like the driver's form or something. It'd just be pretty neat to see those. Because I love the idea that they're doing this because – this is something I think a lot of the masterpieces are kind of missing, is just some little guy like that to put next to it that's actually in a little powered suit itself. Those things are just phenomenal. I love those. I just like that kind of engineering and that kind of little bit of play value.
Speaking of dinos, I really, really like that Fire Blast Vulcan. That thing just looks gorgeous. I really want to – hopefully – I know Captured Prey has them on – I mean, not Captured Prey, Chosen Prime has some on their website, but I'm really hoping that they bring some to TFCon here in Chicago, because right now I'm a little tight on cash. There's like with all the Titan stuff, everything just piling on me at once. I can't really afford everything right now, but that it's wow. It's a really nice looking figure.
It's insane. Just like if you just all the releases just recently, just all the Titan War stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like, and then all this third-party stuff just on top of it. It's like, what the heck is going on? It's like this big, gigantic truckload. It's like long haul just basically backed up in your backyard and just dumped this entire, like, stack of stuff, and it's like, what do you choose?
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, that's, you know, that's part of the problem is some stuff is delayed. It's like, you know, several of my friends, you know, we pre-order stuff somewhere, and then it gets delayed, and then it gets delayed, and then it gets delayed. Then the new stuff that you were expecting to come out comes out either early or on time, and then just won't. And my problem is I've fallen down the third-party sinkhole. I'm sorry. It's just, you know.
A lot of us have.
Yeah, it's just.
Plastic.
It's not.
I'm still, okay, I have officially owned some third-party stuff. Most of them were add-ons, but I only owned one third-party figure, which Don actually has it now because he bought it off me.
Glacial Lord.
But that was Glacial Lord. And it was because of the retro aesthetic that really appealed to me when I got it.
I'm really surprised, Plasticon. Oh, and check the chat real quick, too. I'm really surprised that the thing that you didn't really jump out at from TFCon was the G2 colored yellow Constructor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. They're redoing them. But now here's the thing, they keep doing yellow. Where's our orange version?
That's my question.
If it was orange, I would have canceled the green version and went for it.
Yeah,
that's the one everybody wants, is that because it was a KB Toys exclusive originally, yeah. And very few people need orange.
And
well, that's the thing. I would like to see that, and I would like to see them do this yellow version. For God's sake, give it some gray somewhere here or there. Yeah. To give those Euro guys some love, because those guys have completely been missing out on something homaging that thing that didn't even combine.
And before we get too far, 1, 2, 3.
Hi Jack!
Yeah, he said to say hi in a private chat.
The podcast that delivers.
We deliver.
We'll always keep a seat warm for you there, buddy.
It might have
been well, I can't tell you how, but it'll stay warm.
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping just personally that we start seeing some third party, like you said, the G2 characters or the vague G1, G2, because that will start an argument with G2 fans about the European stuff on where it falls. But, you know, Thunderclash, the Turboformers, Turbomasters, Lightformers, Trackons. I would love to see some third-party, because if the molds don't exist and we can't get them as, say, Encore-style releases, third-party versions is the best thing to do, because those are some pretty good toys there.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean, and honestly, you know, as much as I absolutely love G2, I wouldn't mind actually seeing maybe somebody tackle a little more of the Machine Wars too, because there's some guys out there big fans of Machine Wars that are kind of missing out on some of this. It'd be cool to see like a masterpiece version of Optimus Prime from Machine Wars. Think about how cool that would be.
Or a masterpiece level Scourge. I'm sorry, Pyro and Clinch.
Mm. Yes, those would be phenomenal toys. I would love to see that, because just the molds for the G2, if any of you guys never had them in hand, they're completely different than everything else that's ever been released. There's nothing that looks anything like these things.
Yeah.
And they are just phenomenal toys. And the BotCon stuff that came out that homaged it, that's great, but they're just remolds of something else. They weren't like an individual mold, and I would love to see those things in masterpiece.
But they're still cool toys, and they're still actually pretty expensive on the aftermarket.
Yeah. Oh, yes, they are. They still drive a good bargain.
Trying to find an original is so hard.
Yeah. Well, as I've mentioned in the past, for many years at BotCon, I put on my form that if these European molds are available, can we get some of these European molds into the sets? And everyone was like, well, they only have 3 or 4 points of articulation. It's like, so? But again, I'm old enough that the articulation doesn't bother me because I never had it. So it's not something I have to enjoy the figure.
That's very true, Don. You actually come up with a good point, because you got guys out there that, you know, even when they did that, what was it, the animated colors of the Devastator that came out with like this, and this, and like the different head, but it was actually an Encore version. It's cool to see that. You know, I mean, that's actually pretty neat to see that kind of thing. And it would be neat to see those come back, but maybe a little different articulation. Maybe a third party can pick it up.
Yeah.
Now, my favorite reveal from...
what is it? What could it be? What could it be?
Drum roll.
Maybe I should hold off on this just a little bit longer. Just
save it to the end.
No, seriously though, it's Fans Toys FT18 Lupus, their masterpiece werewolf. Absolutely perfect in every way, in my opinion. They even got the cartoon face just right. I teared up a little bit when I saw it. I'm so overjoyed by that. I mean, I love my my fans project Quadruple U. It's a nice figure, but this right here, the Fans Toys FT18 just captures Weird Wolf just right. And so many third parties, and it's such a refreshing thing too, because so many third parties have hit the Chrome Dome, have hit the hard head. I've got Fans Toy, or I'm sorry, my opinion, my apologies, Maki Toy Cupola. I picked it up this past weekend. Phenomenal toy, and I can't wait to get Iron Will. Just placed my order for one of those today. But you know, we've seen Chrome Domes, we've seen hard heads in some of the others, but Weird Wolf, you know, he was like one of the leaders of the Decepticon headmasters in the Japanese headmaster series. And, you know, he needs some love, and it's awesome to see that. And not only is Fans Toys hitting the Weird Wolf train, but also Unique Toys as well, with a little legend size Weird Wolf.
Don't you love that transformation?
Yes.
Oh, that caught me completely off guard on how they do it, because I posted that for you to see. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I mean, the Chrome Dome is just okay. I'll take it too if it comes in a 2-pack. But yeah. It's Legend's size transformation. Well, slightly larger than Legend, but so much detail and articulation in that little figure. It's amazing.
Probably what you'd call the old Commander class from like the
prime. Yeah. Commander class. I mean, it's not quite Legend, but it's not quite Deluxe either.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Robert Waller on Facebook agrees with me that Point Blank for the win. Point Blank was the only Target Master he had, and that Eric Henry Dupuy.
Dupuy,
I'm probably butchering it. It's Dicka. Yeah, it's Dicka that KFC is doing over the DX9 Gewalt, which I don't think we've seen an actual Dicka yet as far as color. I'm not sure.
I think we have. But, okay. You know, I was actually, until Fans Toys showed theirs, I was going to get the Dicka.
Really?
Yeah, I thought the Dicka looked better.
Yeah. But it's weird. It's just after carrying, DX9 is carrying a lot of, carrying a lot of weight with me on their stuff, because I even got Sorter, and that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's you got to get that Wienermobile, I tell you.
Somebody please make stickers for that.
I'm about to say, isn't Repro Labels going to come out
they
with
are.
Oscar Mayer Wiener? I mean, come on. That's got to happen there. It's Somebody's got to do it. I don't care who it is. Somebody.
But, you know.
One sec. I would like it if they did this, but they also have to include the mustard and ketchup stripes.
do kind of like how Barricade is to punish and enslave. Have like the jingle. Like, oh, I'm in Oscar Mayer.
Yes.
Now someone's going to make red and yellow guns for him that are basically ketchup and mustard.
They gotta look like, you know, like the ketchup bottles that you get at like the restaurants and stuff like that. They gotta look like those, like the mustard and ketchup
Dr.
bottle.
Wu, if you hear this, Dr. Wu, we need ketchup and mustard guns for Sorter.
And instead of ketchup and mustard stripes on the hot dog itself, put some grill marks.
I got the best part. He has to have a bandolier, and it's all got to be relish bottles.
G2 Sworder comes with a bandolier.
Yeah, Eric DePriest had a relish shoulder cannon.
Yes.
All right. But before we go too far off this train, San Diego Comic Con. Yeah,
our astro train of thought has derailed.
Yeah, and transformed and flew out into space.
Come back.
Oh, how it pains me to do this.
San Diego Comic Con is this weekend. And Hasbro yesterday had like their, it's becoming a little tradition for them to have like an early breakfast dinner to where, or a dinner buffet or whatever it is. And they show off a lot of their, new, upcoming toys. Like last year we saw Combiner Wars, Minasaur, and was it last year? Is one of the San Diego Comic Cons we saw Minasaur and Superion for the first time. Wow, time has flown.
Yeah, it's that's when they were all glued together and not looking that great.
Yeah, but you know, it looks pretty good now. But what we got to see this time was the Hasbro version of Combiner Wars Lyokaiser. And I have to say, I want it. I'm not so thrilled with the Dazaris center body, even though it does look good. I would much rather have a Leozak, and you know, just redeco of a Silver Bolt again or something other and call him Leozak. But that being said, I think it looks pretty awesome.
I think that thing is phenomenal, and I love the idea it comes with an Arms Micron. It's such a great throwback.
Yeah, I'll be honest. The only thing I would change is the Arms Micron having been maybe because they had some that were that was a snake or very snake like. Then it could have been Death Cobra. So you get another he wouldn't be called Death Cobra, I'm sure, because of the name probably, but that way he would be another Easter egg for all the fans who would be able to finally have Death Cobra as part of Lyokaiser.
Actually, it would be kind of interesting because you remember the little bitty Target Masters that came out with the Legends, how you had the one that was a helicopter? That would have been a nice repaint as a Death Cobra as well.
A little small, but not much smaller than Arc Micron.
Do you guys think that maybe Takara will try to give a hand at this? I was at lunch with a couple buddies of mine today, and we're actually discussing about the possibility of Takara trying to do a Lyokaiser, which is a no-brainer because, you know, it is a Japanese character. And I think it would sell well over there.
Actually, I've got a theory about that. I think, and this came up with discussion with some friends, it was sort of a group theory, is that with Lyokaiser is reported to being the last Combiner Wars gift set for now. That's what I'm hearing, which means G2 Defensor, we don't know. But again, to the outside, if Lyokaiser is the last one, it's very possible with Lyokaiser being an Entertainment Earth exclusive, it's possible Hasbro's went to that Takara already had plans to do Lyokaiser as a Unite Warriors figure, and they said, hey, we've got a company wanting an exclusive Combiner War figures. We don't really have anybody lined up right now. Why don't we use yours as an exclusive for this company, because I can't see Hasbro initiating a Lyokaiser over a G2 Defensor or some other set they could get from a recolor. See, my theory and the theory we all came up with is that Takara was going to do this anyway as Unite Warriors, and Hasbro saw a way of bringing it to the U.S. for an exclusive spot.
And that's actually a pretty solid theory, because if you look at the G2 sets, they're just regular Combiner Wars releases, and Lyokaiser is actually released under the Platinum line. While it is branded as Combiner Wars, it is releasing as a Platinum, not only as a Platinum, but as you said, an exclusive, online exclusive. So it's very possible.
And I've never dealt with Entertainment Earth. I've heard a lot of good things about them. I just don't want this to be another Maddie collector situation when it goes up for order and nobody can get it, and then it sells out in 2 minutes, because I went through that Wednesday trying to get the Wally Kit and Wally Cat set from the now canceled Thundercats line that will not be being done by Super 7. If you can't tell from my tone of my voice, I'm not happy with that. So But you know, that's the theory we came up with, and I definitely want this Lyle Kaiser. I'm still getting Hades, but I want this Lyle Kaiser so bad.
Well, there was another, was it TFC, not TFC, it was Mastermind Creations, I believe, unveiled that they were doing a Lyle Kaiser as well.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah. So,
But yeah. That was a lot of information coming out of TFCon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, let me share it real quick for the video viewers. There was something else that was revealed that's kind of a pleasant surprise. It's not a G1 character, not necessarily a Beast Wars character. It's Beast Machines Obsidian. Mastermind Creations revealed it at TFCon last year. You can go to tftalk.net and check out the images up there posted by Jack Bruner earlier today, actually. There's images up there of it, and it looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's, you know, I always liked, you know, Obsidian character-wise was, once he was revealed, not to be the idiot that the Maximals thought he was, but he never got a decent toy, because the Beast Machine toys was too small and just kind of meh.
Yeah.
And but. I hope this sells well, because I feel that third party's starting to dip their feet a little bit more into the Beast era. You know, we started out with the Leonidas from Perfect Effect, and that sold really well. And then now we got this guy along. They're also doing a Strika, and Perfect Effect is doing the Optimal Optimus.
Yeah. Well, with Hasbro pretty much saying we're not doing anything Beast this year, that left the door wide open for the third parties to say, oh, you're not going to make product for your people? We'll be glad to. Here, have some Beast Wars stuff, Beast Machine stuff. You know, so
I think this is great, because, I mean, you got guys that, you know, well, like Cyburn, that's not, that we haven't seen him in a little while on the cast, but I guarantee you he's probably going gaga for this kind of stuff, because this is the stuff that really harks to those guys. Some of those guys have been missing out on a lot of this stuff, because everything's been G1, 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 occasional G2, maybe a Diaclone throw in. But this Beast Wars thing is something that a lot of these guys really would like to see. And I personally think it's really cool, too, because it really helps those guys get that. I mean, Beast Machines? I mean, that's kind of crazy. That's like skipping something. So this is really cool.
Well, here's the thing. The first company that pulls off a Night Scream that doesn't suck wins.
that's a hard one to do. But, I mean, Night Scream is the toy itself. The old one is just horrendous.
That's what I'm saying. If someone can make a Night Scream figure that looks good, and make people want to actually get it, despite the fact how annoying the character was, that'll be something to be impressed with.
Given the penchant for third party names, the third party Night Scream will be called Bieber.
That'll be a reason it won't sell right there.
All right. Also, San Diego Comic-Con, we saw for the first time, I believe officially, we've seen Legends Bumblebee and the Sharktacon Gnaw. Was it actually called Gnaw, or was it just Sharktacon?
Okay.
It was
Gnaw. So that's really awesome. Both of them look pretty darn amazing. I'm really excited for the Sharktacon. And going back to last week's episode when we were talking about troop building and things, there's a perfect example.
Yeah,
I will buy multiples of those.
There's your troop builder for the 2016-2017, because who cannot imagine a lot of the people we know having a little shelf of nothing but Legend Sharktacons?
Well, I know that he gets in a lot of the current line stuff, the Hasbro stuff at Capture Prey, and I'm going to talk to Sidecutter over there, and I'm going to say, I want a whole case of those suckers.
Well, now
Well, what's the price point on these things anyway?
They're the Legends. About $9 to $10.
Yeah. Now here's something for the online retailers. If anyone, like Captured Prey, if someone could contact Hasbro and actually, like what Big Bad Toy Store did with Battle Unicorn, they did that after the fact. But if some online retailer could carry cases or half cases of these Nalls, that would be so much easier for a lot of people with a troop build with one shot.
I heard that Hasbro has recently made it easier for retailers to do that. I just don't think of an example where...
Yeah, I haven't heard of it actually being done with anything. It's just there. It's like if that was available during Prime, online retailers could have ordered cases of Prime Viacons.
Mm-hmm,
what about the Insecticon things that we got from Prime? Those Insecticons. How were they packed?
They
sat around for a while. They were like two or three per case.
They were too small, really, to look nice as an army build.
Because there was supposed to be a Voyager hard shell, and they never did that. And that was one of the regrets of the line.
Maybe just because these Sharticons are legend size, that it might be a turnoff for some people just because of the size they expect, maybe like a deluxe size?
Not really. Well, see, a lot of people that I know do Flickr and do dioramas and they like doing all these scenes. And if you've got Cuff and Hot Rod and you're doing a Quintesson scene with a bunch of Sharticons at the bottom of a pit.
Doesn't matter how big they are, yeah.
Exactly. That's you could have six or seven in this display and it'd be perfect because of the size, because of the scale and the angle.
Absolutely. We've been talking a lot about exclusives here and there, but I think it's a good time to segue into our main topic of discussion tonight, and that is the Chinese market and how has it impacted our hobby as it stands today. But before we talk about that, we need to look at the Asian market in general. For years and years and years, Takara has influenced the way we collect and what we collect. Going back to the early 2000s with the book style reissues, they started putting out or even just the regular reissues like the Ultra Magnus, Hot Rod. I believe Rodimus got an early reissue and those were selling like hotcakes. And it was enough that Hasbro apparently stood up and said, hey, fans want these. Let's bring some of these over to the U.S. The Asian market has been influencing what we have for so long. But right now, with the increasing national wealth in the Chinese market, a lot of people there are starting to have disposable incomes to where they can actually go out and get a lot of these classic characters that they love so much. Sometimes they're just not out there what they the characters that they want. So there's companies out there that's rising up within China and putting them out. For example, Fans Toys. It's a Chinese company, and they're putting out masterpieces of basically toys that we might likely not get from official means. So that is one avenue in which has greatly impacted the fandom today, and that's third parties. But let's talk about the official end of it for a moment. Don, you want to talk a little bit about how you think that the Chinese market or Asian market in general has impacted the hobby today?
Well, I think when you're looking at it from the third party standpoint, that is such a niche market to begin with the lower production run and higher costs, that was already going to be something balanced on the edge of the knife on whether it's going to succeed or fail. And then you had your early people like Fans Project with the City Commander armor, and then you had Mastermind that started out with the Hearts of Steel Optimus. That wasn't that great. I have it. It's not the best figure, but I really like Optimus Prime in the Hearts of Steel design. And Mastermind has gotten to be one of the better or one of the best companies in the third party. But I think if the demand from the Chinese segment for these characters was not there, driving these people to keep making this stuff and improving the quality to show they can do a quality product, I don't think the third party market would be anywhere close to what we have today. Not just the amount of product, but the amount of people. I think that's one reason that their desires for these characters that we're not getting and they're willing to spend the money is causing these companies to succeed, whereas otherwise they may not. Because a lot of people I know here in the U.S. love the third-party stuff, and a lot of people collect it. But I don't think there's enough by ourselves to support the kind of third-party construct you have now without the Chinese customers wanting this.
Well, I think I dare say that if it weren't for the Chinese market, they wouldn't be making them at all, because I don't think the North American market or even the Japanese market or even the European market for third party stuff is enough to keep it afloat. I mean, you got to keep in mind that third party products are not as mass made, I guess is the best way to put it, as the official product. I mean, where you might have 20 to 30,000 Optimus Primes made through official means, you know, a third party run of, say, Toy World Orion might have received maybe 2,000, 3 at most. I'm just guessing here, but it's, you know, I think if it weren't for the Chinese market, we wouldn't have half of what we have today, because it can be argued that with the increasing pressure from the third party scene out there, you know, you got your Fans Toys, you got your Toy World, which I believe is a Japanese company, by the way. Then you got TFC, Mastermind Creations, Maki Toy. All of these great companies putting out quality toys, and most of them are based in China, and their primary audience and their primary consumer are Chinese consumers. So if it weren't for the Chinese market driving the third party sales, being able to produce these in a country that literally I don't think that, is outside, I believe it's outside the jurisdiction of Hasbro and Tomy's legal realm. You know,
it's a really gray area. It is
a really complicated gray area. So, you know, it's just one of these perfect storms. You know, you got increase in demand, you got increasing popularity in demand, you got the ability to do it, and you got people out there that are buying it, not just domestically in China, but over here as well. You know, with that pressure, Hasbro is seeing this. Takara is seeing this, and we're getting better stuff. I honestly think that Combiner Wars Devastator would have never happened had it not been for the third party push. Honestly.
It can be argued that Combiner Wars in whole couldn't have happened because of third party, because Hasbro saw that this whole third party combiner craze, how every company and every fan wanted a G1 combiner, Hasbro said, hey, you know, we can capitalize on this and make our own versions. And which is, I think the Combiner Wars line, while it may not be for everybody, not everybody can drop $500-$600 on a third party combiner. As much as we want to, in reality, not everybody can. So a $100 official release is a great alternative for those that, you know, are collecting on a budget.
And also the fact that Look at what we had 3 or 4 years ago with Fallout Cybertron Bruticus. Now, the awesomeness of the G2 box aside, because that's so awesome, it's untouchable. But Fallout Cybertron Bruticus is not a good toy. It's just not a good toy. I think them seeing this, like you were saying, Sergio, about this push for combiners forced them to reevaluate their look at combiners and what we had with Fall of Cybertron and what we're getting with Combiner Wars. Because even if they had kept the Fall of Cybertron design aesthetic and connecting points, you couldn't have got the number of repaints out of those kind of molds, I don't think, that you would be getting with Combiner Wars for all the flexibility. As tired as we are, a lot of us are, of the mold reuse that we're seeing, we wouldn't have gotten
that.
We've
been asking for it. Not just vocally, but with our purchases as well, honestly, if you think about it.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I know people complained about, like, okay, Combiner Wars, same toy over and over and over again, but honestly, that was the same thing with G1. It went on forever. It's been there well before. But like we're saying, like with the third party stuff, there's some parts that you can swap around between, like, you know, TFC. You can swap bits around on some of their combiners, but you can't take those from those and slap them onto a different one. That's the problem with that. And most people like the play pattern. And honestly, with the Chinese market doing what they're doing, giving us different options, which not everybody likes the same aesthetic.
Well, I mean,
caught on to that, and it's actually working really well. And I'm just hoping it's not going to die off in a few years because Hasbro comes in and bam, 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 just monopolizes it again, and then it just tanks, and then there's no demand anymore.
Well, you know, and we're none of us are insiders at Hasbro, so we don't know for sure exactly what they've been looking at as far as, you know, what is influencing fans, what is influencing their own decisions as a corporation to release. Now, we do know from people like Rick Alvarez, who did work at Hasbro, we do know that they do watch the third party scene, and they catalog every single release that is released as a third party. But to say that they don't pay attention to what we're buying and what we like, what we're saying that we like with our wallets, I think would be absolutely foolhardy. They may not admit it, but, you know,
yeah.
And here's an example of, you know, Hasbro, this, I'm holding up a foot handpiece from Combiner Wars. This a hand mode is a hand mode for one of the hand pieces, and it's pretty ingenious. I like the way they've done it, but as a hand, it's sort of a hand, but it's really modular. And this is the TFC Lyokaiser hand, and if you notice on the video here, I'm bending the fingers. It's got individual fingers. Just so much posability and opposable thumb. It's just amazing. Yeah, I mean, you got the opposable thumb on the Hasbro version, but not individual fingers. So, you know, Hasbro is gone so far as to make a universal hand foot, and it serves as both, but the quality that third party is giving us is just amazing. And whenever you look at what the quality is being put out, it begs the question, you know, is there a point when the Chinese market is going to overtake the actual official North American market and even the Japanese market, that people will buy third party over official only? I'm sure there's people that's doing it now, but.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't really gave a lot of thought to, Durham, but you're right. There, I want to say off the top of my head, no, that's not going to happen, but if you stop and think about it, there's a lot of people that likes Titan Returns,
mm-hmm.
but they prefer these remaster versions. I like the Function, despite the Function X line being a little outdated by this point, I do hope they still get to a few characters like the Hardhead and the Minerva. Because I definitely still want to get their versions of those, but I can't dismiss it as readily. If you'd asked me that 2 or 3 years ago, before I have two bookcases And half of that is almost third party stuff. I've got an entire shelf that City Commander armors and Protector armors. Yeah, I went a little crazy for that one, but yeah, that was stupid. But if you'd asked me that 3 years ago, I'd say, oh, no way, man, they can't do that. Now, I'm not so sure.
Well, I mean, the thing is seeing the price drops on stuff. I think we were talking about, what was it, the oversized gold bug from that.
Oh, the shine bug, yes.
Shine bug. And how much did you say you gave for this one, just the one bit? And then if you compare that to the original release, how much cheaper it is?
Well, the Toy World Shine Bug, and for those of you who aren't really versed in third-party stuff, Shine Bug was the Toy World version of the Throttlebot Gold Bug. And the Toy World version of the Throttlebots.
Throttlebirds.
Yeah.
Throttlebirds or go.
Angry Bird Transporters.
Throttlebirds or go. Sorry.
Yeah. But the Throttlebots, as far as the Toy World versions, they also had the ability to combine, kind of like the Dinobots. You know, you could do them individually, or you could combine them into a large combiner. Well, the increasingly popular, and this is another reason why, whenever we talk about the Chinese market, we talk largely about third parties and even knockoffs. And I really wish Brett would be here, because I mean, I'm sure he could tell us a lot more things about the knockoff companies that come out of China. But Wei Jing, this name, the Wei Jing name, has popped up in the collector's lexicon in the last probably 6 months. I've heard the term Wei Jing so much. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and you can't ignore it. And it's very clearly a Chinese company that is going and taking, they're not just knocking off, they are completely re-engineering things like the Age of Extinction Invasion Mode Prime. That's virtually a masterpiece. Don, you said you've got one, don't you?
Yeah, I've got the evasion mode, because I love the evasion mode Optimus, and the fact that we get a vehicular G1 Optimus that turns into movie Optimus. I think that was a brilliant feat of engineering, getting the two to look so remarkably. Because Michael Bay said, or someone said at one point, you couldn't get a G1 Optimus to look like movie Optimus in truck mode, you know, but they actually wound up in doing it. But I have my G1 evasion mode Optimus with the DX9 Genrai add-on kit. And when this Wei Jing leader's class Optimus Prime came out, they added this die-cast parts. They've added features that fills in some gaps.
Detail.
The paint is incredible on the paint. You get swords, you get an axe, you get a shield. You've got some guns, like from the Striker Optimus, that the gas cans become guns. I mentioned this in the pre-show. It's the same. If you look at Ghost Starscream from Energon having the same transformation as the G2 Smokescreen, or any of the small GS that came with the Dreadwing sets. It's the same transformation, but it's different characters. They just share the same transformation. This Wei Jing Evasion Mode Optimus transforms almost identical, but it is such a phenomenally different toy with the feel and the way the parts are and what is not hidden or not painted on the regular one.
So basically what you're saying is it's not just a straight up knockoff. The only thing they knocked off apparently is just the transformation scheme, but everything else seems.
Yeah, they inherently improved the evasion mode prime figure to a real leader class. I honestly cannot recommend that figure enough. Again, the legality aside, I'm just putting that aside, of course. But for the quality and the way it looks and the accessories you get, and they added articulated fingers like you were showing with the Freddy King, similar to that, it's such an upgrade to the character and to the toy.
So what are we looking at price-wise on this
It's about $100.
Mm-hmm. I have seen it as low as $89.99 with about $10 shipping. Now, I don't know if that's with box, without box. I paid $109 for mine with free shipping, and the box is. If anyone out there has a Fans Toys Dinobots, the leader class, the masterpiece scale Dinobots, here, let me show you. I've got Stomp. Well, I can't really get to them, but I've got Stomp. The box for this Optimus Prime is basically larger than a Fans Toys Dinobot box. Oh, okay, Duron's probably got one. He's got one close. Yeah, that is the box the Dinobot came in. Is that Sever or Stomp? Okay, that's Sever. Okay, no volume, Duron.
What's the quality of the, like, when it comes to the packaging itself, Don, what's that quality packaging like? Because I've gotten a lot of KOs before, and the toy itself's great.
Well, hang on.
But the packaging felt like run-of-the-mill garbage.
I think I can get to the box. Let me get it. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Well, while he's doing that, you know.
You're under my feet again. I will step on you.
The thing is that, you know, the Chinese market, you know, we got third parties, of course, knockoffs. And as Don said, you know, I mean, there's always a legal issue. But as fans, quite frankly, I don't give a damn about the legal implications of it as far as a company. It's not my concern. There's nothing I can do about it outside of, you know, not buying their stuff if I'm that hardcore of a fan. But quite honestly, my lack of purchase of their item is not going to impact them whatsoever, because like we said earlier, the Chinese market keeps it afloat regardless of whether or not we buy it or not. And they obviously don't give a damn about our legal concerns over here. So that being said, as a fan, I buy what I like. And if I like it, I will buy it. You know, I don't care if it's official, third party, KO. I just bought a KO oversized Power Glide, Combiner Wars Power Glide, that I've heard from numerous sources that is really good quality. And, you know, it'll fit in on my masterpiece shelf for the time being as a masterpiece Power Glide for $10. You can't beat the price on these. Like I said, the Shine Bug, I got an oversized version.
This is how far back it has to be for it to fit in frame.
Jeez. It looks
nice. It looks very hollow. Like, is that like a silver?
It's got foil print
very,
on it.
Very, very, very shiny.
Yes.
Yeah. So the box feels more like a masterpiece box?
Is there a category above masterpiece?
I would say BotCon quality box.
Yeah. Well, this is the inside of the box. You had a foam clamshell. All the pieces were in plastic. There was a sheet of plastic over the figure protecting it from paint rub. And this came in a box wrapped with bubble wrap around this in the shipping box.
Wow, they pack it better than the club packs their toys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, well, I'm trying to articulate how well packaged this thing was, and you even got Velcro on the lid to hold it shut for display. I guess, okay, this is the best thing I can think of here. Here's your average Disney Infinity figure, Nick from Zootopia. Here's the box.
Just compare it to the size of Don's head, which is enormous, by the way. but, you know, like I was saying, though, legal implications aside, as fans, we really shouldn't have to concern ourselves with that. If you like it, buy it, is what I say. If you don't agree with it, don't buy it. You know, but I'll be right here to tell you right now, your lack of purchasing items is not going to impact anybody whatsoever You know, it's like saying I'm not going to eat eat beef, and that's going to stop, you know, all cattle production. You know, sorry, you know, there's enough people out there to keep it afloat.
But I mean, if it makes you feel better about yourself as a collector, do what you think is best.
That's
the important thing. But I cannot think of a third party figure that has impressed me more than that Wajing Optimus for a knockoff. Now, regular third party like Carrie, I love Carrie. He still carries one of my strongest recommendations for any third party collector. But this Wajing being a knockoff, buy it. If you like Evasion Mode Optimus, buy this figure. I can see
Wajing being one of the next big companies because they're taking figures that the fans already like, but improving them to make them, like you said, better. You know, like they did with that Evasion Optimus. Evasion Optimus alone for $20 is a great Voyager figure.
I'm waiting for somebody. I noticed whenever I was looking at some of the Weijing products online the other day, I noticed that they had an oversized version of the Dinobot Snarl, the movie Dino Age of Extinction Snarl. And it has die-cast metal parts. And all this stuff. I want to know is if there's anybody out there that has actually bought a Weijing Dinobot, and is it any better than the official one that we got? I'm willing to bet to say it is. Just going off of the MPP-10 and the Evasion Mode Prime there, but you know, going back to our topic of discussion, the Chinese market. You know, I mean, even on the official side of things, we're getting the Asian exclusive Seeker 3 packs, the classic Seeker 3 packs. Weren't those were initially for the Chinese market?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The GDOs a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And then we got them over here because, well, since they're already making them for the Chinese market, let's make a few for the exclusives as exclusives for the American market, mm-hmm. too.
But of course, we didn't get the wonderful Braun that was.
Well, yeah. technically, with the cloud release.
Yeah, let's no.
another thing that is, I believe they're producing them for the Chinese market. I guess because they're coming along a little bit later than the rest of us did. The Masterpiece Seekers like the MP-11SW and MP-11T for Skywarp and Thundercracker. I believe they also got a Starscream that was recently reissued as well.
I have that one. I bought it a couple of years back. That was also when he was going for like $300 on the aftermarket. So I guess they said, hey, let's reissue it. But I thought it was a great move that they reissued it for the Asian market because they didn't start getting Transformers. I mean, they did, but the whole push, Hasbro marketing it heavily in the Asian market, didn't really begin until recent years.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when it comes to like trying to think about the way Hasbro really pushed anything which comes from Asian market, even over here, was the GDO figures we got was Swerve, Power Dive, and a few of those.
Hotspot.
Yeah, it was a few of those that we didn't. That was like the first time we ever saw anything like that actually sat on a Toys R Us shelf that had Chinese writing on them. This is completely different than anything we had ever seen before. So I think that was probably the crossover point where we actually started seeing a little more attention being drawn that direction.
And that's just another example that, like Duran said earlier, even though it's not made publicly, Hasbro does listen to us. A lot of the fans were really upset that they were only going to be released in the Asian market. And because we kept saying, we want them, we want them, we want them, Hasbro decided, okay, we'll import them as Toys R Us exclusively.
And as an even earlier example, now it's not quite of the Chinese market, but as far as listening to the fans, getting the first release Prime figures back out into the stores.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of, nothing against the regular Prime wave, but if you look at the Prime bulkhead, the first edition bulkhead, versus the Prime second version of bulkhead with the action mace thingy spinner thing, There's no comparison to the toys. I'm sorry. Yeah. But that's probably one of the earlier.
Listener, I apologize if I butcher the name. Yanan Mi, he says the Asian market has been growing long before, not just recent years. And I totally agree. But it's been growing for a long, long time. But I think just in recent years, we've started seeing an explosion of things from there. I mean, like Plasticon said, you know, we really didn't start seeing a lot of Asian market exclusives or packaging here as exclusives in North America until recent years. I mean, you know, we might have got something here and there. And it goes back to like I said earlier, you know, the Takara reissues started coming out over in Japan, and we were importing them. I know I was back in the early 2000s. I got Hot Rod, Ultra Magnus, you know, I believe Rodimus Prime.
Well, even the Ruination from RID was a complete different color compared to what we got over here. It had the bronze parts.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is that the Asian market, and I know we've kind of been using the Asian market and China as interchangeably in this episode, and I want to clarify that, you know, the Asian market isn't just China. Mm-hmm. We do realize that, but China is a very, very large chunk of it because it is the most populous country in the world. Yeah. So, we're focusing on China here, but in the Asian market in general also. So we're not using them. We're kind of using them interchangeably here, but we do realize that there is a distinction here. But, you know, it's, you know, it with I'm trying to remember where I was going before Plasticon said what he was saying. But you got these exclusives. I know the Asia Kids exclusives. I've actually got them over here. The Protectobots, the non-combining ones. They basically just took a bunch of random figures and threw them into exclusive packaging, and you know here and gave them to the Asian market. Well, Amazon got them over here as an exclusive, and they got pretty darn cheap too. I think. Yeah. I got the whole set for like $20, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I ordered the one with the Voyager hotspot figure for $10 ship. And I thought it was great that we got a Garden City colored hotspot. I thought that was really cool. That's a very, very unique recolor of a toy. That's not something that you would get in a regular retail release.
But, you know, we're talking about a lot of the great stuff that comes out of you know, China as far as third party and, you know, in the Weijing example, you know, there's the KO market. Mm-hmm. But there's also some bad stuff that's coming out of it, too. And I do want to highlight that as well. Not only are third party items such as the Toy World Throttlebots being KO'd and oversized, you can get a oversized Mastermind Creation Predaking, the Feral Rex, oversized, absolutely enormous. I know our own Insane Galvatron recently picked one up for about $100 for the whole kit and caboodle, and this thing is enormous. And he says the quality is great, and you can even get for I'm wanting to say about $15 or $16 an upgrade kit to fix all the things that they simplified. In that version.
I was just actually looking on eBay, and I think that thing's going for like $70 now.
Yeah,
and I've seen reviews of this thing, and it's great quality. Although it is an oversized KO and simplified, it's still good quality, and it comes with another extra member that they. I'm guessing was that member actually really released?
It's Catilla, yes.
So it also comes with that, which is crazy. You get like six figures instead of just the five.
Please tell me they haven't done it in that really nice black and purple Nero.
They have.
They've done it in that beautiful color. So.
And I've actually, that's another thing at TFCon I had picked up for me, the Feral Queen set and the Nero Queen. I got those because I also have a Nero Rex on the way.
See,
actual one.
Yeah, see, Predaking is not one of my favorite I like him. He's just not, my G1 is fine. I've never been a person that I needed a new Predaking, but the Nero Rex colors and those purple and black.
It's just so pretty.
Oh, it is gorgeous. So
pretty. Yeah.
It does, and that just goes to show you, it doesn't have to be an official character for us to want it. Just make it pretty, we'll buy it.
It's very true. Like, how many times you see, like, you know, just repaints, like even eHobby did some weird repaints of stuff that wasn't even a, like, an official thing, and then somebody buys it just because you get, like, a chrome silver, chrome blue streak. Like, a chrome one. What? It's like a lucky draw or something. That does go to show you, even official product gets the same as the KO version.
But, so, you know, to finish my statement, though, the bad things that we're getting out of them, not only are third-party items getting knocked off, I mean, you got Clone Droid knocking off Mastermind Creations Hexatron, you know, but also, and I say that's bad because, you know, I mean, it's taking away from a third party, but at the same time, you also have official things being knocked off, such as the masterpieces. I mean, you got Masterpiece Lambor and all of those. They're being knocked off by these Chinese companies. And to the untrained eye, you may not even realize you're buying a KO. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the packages look so similar.
Yeah, that sparked a huge controversy within the fandom. I run a Masterpiece collectors group on Facebook, Masterpiece Addicts, and it's always, I remember when they first started coming out, it was a huge debate whether or not were they actually KOs or were they just factory rejects, because some people were saying the quality, if you were to hold them up side by side, you wouldn't be able to tell which one's which. Yeah, you know, one would have a little loose joints and stuff like that, but in some cases...
That's a big telltale, yeah.
Yeah, in some cases, some people would go as far as to say that they felt the KO was a better quality product.
I'll be honest. I've got a KO. I bought them because they were cheap. I mean, it was $20 for the pair, the Ravage and Rumble masterpieces. Now, they're pretty good quality. I will give them that. And if you set them next to an actual masterpiece, it's very difficult to distinguish them apart because they are that close. And, you know, I'm happy with them, even though they're not official. They still fit in my Masterpiece Sound Blaster. They have all the details pretty much that the actual Masterpieces have, just at half the price.
Mm-hmm. Well, a really good reviewer I can recommend for anybody out there that wants to actually watch somebody compare the real thing to the KO is Chachi Power, also known as Rocket Punch Army. He does a great overview and tells you exactly what is different between those. He will even go into comparisons of comparing it to the Takara release and the Hasbro release. Yeah. So he does an overview of the entire thing when it comes to a lot of these KO masterpieces. So that way you guys don't get ripped off. I mean, if you guys go on eBay and you find a Lambor going for $35-$40, that right there should already raise a red flag.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's extremely cheap, then that's probably a knockoff.
Right, but on the other hand, just to say a second here, on the other hand, you got to be very, very careful because sometimes they might take that KO and mark it up to like $90 to $100, and you won't know that is a KO until you get it in hand. So you've got to be very careful. You've got to look at the packaging. Yeah. Look at the art. Is it stock images? That's the big thing. So just shopping for them.
Well, I purchased the Red Alert KO because at the time I could not find one affordable enough, and I had a chance to get a sideswipe for an open box sideswipe that was a review sample from somebody for like $55 in shipping, which was about $30 cheaper, give or take, than what he was originally. So I decided to get the KO. The company actually even copied the little piece of paper that comes in every Japanese figure.
Little gray paper.
Yeah, that's for the contest or whatever the case may be. They even reproduced that. So that really, there's a couple of dealers that I follow on eBay that tell you know. Mm-hmm. This is not the original figure, But I've seen a lot of people, like you said, Sergio, there is no, it just says Masterpiece Lambor, $49.99 and $20 shipping.
Now, if you, for example, Lambor, if you get Lambor in car mode on the back, on the KO, it does not say Kuntok. It says something else. It says like Kontok or something other. They completely left out a letter. And I believe the tampo on the hood with the bull on the Lambo hood is either off center or not completely painted.
It's normally like really, really mushy looking. Yeah. And actually for Tiger Trax, the eyeliner that goes around the headlights is not there on the KO. It's on the official toy.
Yeah.
That's the yellow one that a lot of people tend to get confused on because the box itself is just like it's kind of like a goldish silver. You can't tell from the box. You can only really tell from the toy itself.
I mean, you got these KO companies. They're going out there and knocking off official things. They're knocking off third parties. Eventually you're going to have a KO company knocking off a KO. The way this is going.
Which is already happening.
I'm pretty sure it's happened.
Yeah. I kind of applaud the Weijing stuff for what they're doing because they're not just straight up, here is a straight up KO of what what you can buy somewhere else and trying to pass it off as something else. They're at least upscaling it and making it okay. You know, this is a great figure. We'll take that exact same figure, make it bigger so it'll fit in something. We'll change details, add a die cast. At least they're doing something positive with their KOing. Now, if you're going to take straight up designs, whether it be official or third party, Clone Droid, what they did with that the Hexatron, I think that's deplorable, whether it's official or third party or not. Don't just straight up copy it and sell it as your own. That's I'm sorry, I call bullshit.
I wanted to mention that as well. With me personally, I don't like really buying KOs because I understand that there's people that spend a lot of hours designing, just making sure that this figure is possible. It takes a lot of hours and hard work to do that. And for somebody just to take it, knock it off and then sell it for a cheaper price is kind of a bogus move because you just it's like if you were to take somebody's art, copy it and then sell it as your own. But at the same time, I understand because, you know, it sounds a little hypocritical, but I do own a couple KOs. But the reason that I bought them is because I know that I can't really afford the official one. Like I have a KO, really good quality KO of the Shattered Glass Prime. I'm a huge Shattered Glass fan. But I just really don't see myself spending $800 to $900 on the original BotCon set. So I bought that really good quality KO for $20, which is, you know, a really good stand-in. And whenever somebody asks, I openly admit, yeah, it's a KO. I'm not trying to pass it off for more than what it is.
Yeah. I bought a it's like I was replying to Eric Dupuy here on the Facebook thread. I bought my Masterpiece Rumble and Ravage set. I wanted to see what these KOs, what the quality was like on them. And, you know, while just sitting there on the table or on the, in light box or what have you, they're fine for what it is, but I really don't want to get them out and play, with them off my shelf because, like for example, Rumble, his chrome, was worn right out of the box on the chest, and the weapons don't peg in properly on the back. The Ravage has a really wonky foot. You know, I wanted to see what the quality was like. You know, go out there. I mean, it's $20. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll have those characters, whether or not they're official or not. Maybe I'd like to go back and get official versions of those down the road, just to replace these. But for now, the stand-ins will be fine. But I don't think I'll ever buy another one of those, except in the case that there's also KOs of G1s out there. Mm-hmm. And I think we would be remiss without mentioning these because so often have they been passed off as the real deal. I've seen so many people on message boards saying, oh, I bought a G1 Optimus Prime mint and seal box, and I got the best deal on it. I got it for $100. It's like, I'm sorry, but you got a KO. You know, it might look like an actual G1 Optimus Prime. That box is pretty damn minty and everything. Yeah, I don't think you got it off of Morgan Collier.
Sometimes depends on that. I mean, even with the reissue market, it's really caused an issue with a lot of the G1 collectors out there because, oh, they're going out there trying to find like a Trailbreaker or something like that. They just want to get one that they want to put on their shelf to be able to pay for, and they get it, and it almost looks mint, and it's out of box. That is a reissue, you know. But when it comes to Devastator, probably the most knocked off combiner ever. We've seen these things in freaking Tuesday mornings in like the most cheap soap bottle plastic ever. But still, people, I see it all the time when I go and look up Generation 2. People are trying to put off those little bitty bits in individual ones as a G2. And then it's not a G2. Just because it's yellow doesn't mean it's G2. You can tell when you look at the hook. Take hook, for instance. There's no chrome in the middle. It's all yellow. So what's that tell you? It's a KO immediately. But the thing is, you got to be careful because there are guys out there that are, they don't care. They want $50 for this hook, and it's not a real thing. You got to be really, really leery of this.
And unfortunately, it's getting to the point where it's so scary that not all of them are that distinguishable. They go as far as 100% exact replica with stampings and dates and everything. And you really have to know your stuff, especially when you go to a convention. It sometimes the seller might not even know themselves. They might not be doing it on purpose that they're selling a KO product. They're getting so scarily similar that you really have to do your homework.
It seemed like there was somebody at BotCon came up and asked me about, was it you, Sergio?
I asked a couple people because I was looking for some Devastators, but I wanted to make sure that they were vintage and not.
Well, somebody brought me a package from a dealer and asked me what if it was KO or not, and I actually had to Google it and found out that it was a KO because the package, you know, it's like the package had some telltale signs on it.
Well, on the Devastator, for a lot of people that look for a mint and box Devastator, there is a package out there that looks just like the original G1. The way to tell the differences is if you look on the back of the packaging, on the back, it says Devastator, but it says Devastator. There's a space in between. That's honestly like a straight up a telltale sign that that is a KO. Mm-hmm. It's a high quality KO because there. If you guys went to iOffer tends to have a lot of these high quality KO G1 Transformers. Literally, they are just like them. They've got the diecast. They got everything. It literally looks like the original toy. It's basically a reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these reproductions have made it out in the market, and they are still making some to this day because when Hasbro and all of them decide to liquidate all the G1 molds, some of the stuff wasn't accounted for. And people basically took them and built their own vat and started making them again. Why? Because they can do that. People do that stuff all the time. It's going to be really, really leery because, I mean, I myself, I collect a lot of G1 way back, you know, a while back. I ran across a lot of KOs. But the same thing with G2. I see the same thing going on there. There are some KOs out there of everything. I mean, even big jump starters, for God's sake. There's a 4-star company out there that went through just as far to remold bits on it. And it's the same engineering as Top Spin and Twin Twist. Identical engineering. But they're not real Transformers. They're not real Hasbro Takara.
Going back to like my favorites, the Headmasters. I have been meaning to get one, but, you know, like I said, so many things out there. I've got so many orders out there I need to pay for. I just haven't went and gotten it. But there is a KO of Weird Wolf out there. I want one just to keep sealed on my shelf. And $50, I can't beat that. You can't beat that price. It's just I've been dragging my feet and pulling the trigger on that because, like I said, so many things. But I do know you just look at it and you're like, this thing looks so real. But the big telltale thing on the Headmasters is that, you know how the meter on the chest, if you put the head down on the socket on a G1 Headmaster, the reader on inside the chest goes to different levels depending on how those little teeth that are on the back of the head of a Headmaster push down on those little tongs. Well, on the KO, it's straight across. So if you put if you open up the chest on a KO, the meter will be straight across in there.
I was about to say, Dron, it'd be funny if you took one and got it AFA'd. Just put on your shelf because you're such a Weird Wolf fan. Honestly, I think if you did that, that would be awesome. I'm sorry, you AFA'd a freaking reissue KO, whatever the heck you want to call it.
I would probably do that, but that is my holy grail, is a mint and seal box, actual vintage Weird Wolf. I want a sealed American Weird Wolf.
You should do that, but like somewhere in the corner on that AFA box, have it say KO or fake or something. Because then when you eventually get the real thing, you'll be able to have both setting up there and be able to be like, you got two of those things. And be like, yeah, well, go look in the corner.
I eventually want to get one of those. And then all of the Dinobots, I mean, those are out there too. You can get like the complete set of the all five Dinobots mint and seal box for about like $180, you know. And I don't know if the quality is just great on those. I know I had a KO Gnaw. I wanted to see what the quality was. And actually, that's the one that you got off of me. And I told you before I sold it to you that it wasn't that bad a quality.
Yeah. That was what's surprised. But I've handled a lot of those high quality KOs, and yeah, a few joints were slightly tight and a bit scary. But dude, that thing looked great with everything else. You could not tell. Like for just somebody that wouldn't know, they couldn't tell. They really couldn't tell if they just walked by. I mean, you pick it up, stamping and everything looks identical.
Yeah. I mean, it's even, and that's how far the stamping marks, they might blot out like the year or something other, or they might omit something other, but it'll even have the stamps on the toys themselves. So we talked a little bit about, the positives, the negatives, and what has actually, how it has actually impacted us as American or North American collectors. But is there anything else that we need to mention, Don?
Oh, I was just going to mention that this is not a new thing about the complexity and telling them apart. I'm sure all of y'all remember back during the early 2000s, a online retailer was selling what they thought were warehouse find Cyclonuses, G1 Cyclonuses in the box. And they actually had to have someone come in and someone actually found the mold markings and the box differences and said, these are the highest quality KOs we've ever seen. And they thought they were getting actual a warehouse find of some G1 stock. I won't say who, because you can research it. I'm just saying this was in the early 2000s. Back when I was getting into Brave, I was just learning about, and this is for like new people getting into Transformers from the movies or whatever the case may be, is I was looking at Transformers and I bid on what I thought was a Thunder Daguan, which was a remold from Galaxy Shuttle, and I paid about $70 for it. And I get it, and start looking at it, and I go online because there's some parts that's not fitting together. There's some issue. I thought, well, this isn't right because it doesn't have this and this. And it was a very close boxed KO, but the figure was a very low quality, and I was kind of stuck with it. So, and this was 10 to 15 years ago, right after the 2000s began.
You know, and that's around the time whenever, if we thought about KOs, we thought about like those Easter baskets that came with the KO Constructicons, yeah, and the combined Abaticons that had like really low quality plastic. Now we're getting stuff. Yeah. Now we're getting KOs that are like, wow, these things are close to the real thing.
If the things were good enough back then to confuse online retailers and people that knew, I didn't know Brave, I knew Transformers, but I didn't know Brave. But if it was back then confusing people, imagine what the technology is doing now. So be careful. Check your sources. Check with your friends. You know, just play it safe when you go, and just trust and find a reputable seller you can trust.
Yeah.
Wanted to show this off real quick. For the audio listeners, I'm holding up the KO Shattered Glass Prime that I was mentioning earlier. But I wanted to touch up on kind of how we spoke, kind of like how Wei Zhang is upgrading figures, making them better. And this is an example of how they took an already really great mold and made it just a little bit better. They added hard ratchets on the arms. They added hard ratchets on the legs. They added a hard ratchet on the waist. And if you notice, the windows, they're actually molded in solid plastic, and then they put a transparent plastic part behind it to make the windows. Whereas in the official one, this is an official Henkei Prime, the entire arm panel is all translucent plastic that was painted.
Wow. So they went a little extra mile on it.
Yeah, and then, but of course they did make it very obvious that it's a KO, but you can tell on the windows, the dirt on the windows is very, very, it's not as opaque as the real one. So that's a very telltale sign, as well as the bumper says not for sale for some reason.
They KO'd the prototype or something. But, you know, we've talked about the positives and negatives, what we've actually, how it's actually impacted us as collectors over here. You know, like stated earlier, you know, I mean, it's not really anything new. It's just that we're starting to see an even bigger impact over recent years. I mean, you know, third parties have been around since the early 2000s. I know MP01 trailer with Fans Toys, the Fans Project add-on kits, and then we're starting to get full-blown figures because of the demand. People want it, and the Chinese market specifically wants it. And because they're getting it, so are we. You know, the Chinese market officially is asking for a lot of, you know, hey, we need more product. You know, can you make us more product? They're going to Takara Tomy and saying, hey, bring us more product. We need it for our market. There's such a big demand for it here. And they make it, and then we start saying, hey, we want it, and we get it, or for a most part. You know, when they don't always get everything that they get. But I don't think a lot of people have really sat down and thought how much the Chinese market has impacted us today. I hope that we've raised some awareness of it, some points of discussion. There's been some great discussion on the Facebook group already. Mm-hmm. Some great points brought up. I really want to thank everybody that's talked about it on the boards. Do any of you guys have any closing thoughts on the subject?
The biggest example in recent years was Age of Extinction. The bulk of the box office was in China just because of how heavily they marketed in China by filming it there. They had a couple Chinese, very famous Chinese actors in it. They had a lot of Chinese product placement in it. They really focused on the Asian market when it
came bombed here in the United States, but it was like a blockbuster in China, mm-hmm. in China, you know, and it just goes to show you, the Chinese fan, Transformer fan is ravenous for the Transformers brand, for the Transformers product, so much so that third parties and everything are exploding because there's so much demand for it. And I think that's an understatement. I really don't think the average fan has really stopped to consider what we've gotten because of the Chinese market. It needed to be talked about.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's to say that Hasbro doesn't listen to us. I don't think that's not true at all, because we wouldn't be getting these Titan Returns figures if it weren't for the fans speaking out. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we would be getting Hardhead, Skullmaster, or Skullcruncher. We wouldn't be getting these obscure characters that the average, you know, consumer wouldn't know if it weren't for us.
Absolutely. Some great points that have been brought up tonight. Maybe you might have some other ideas or other thoughts on the subject. We'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us at TFYLP on Twitter, or you can join us on our Facebook group Facebook, the Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure Facebook group. If you are watching this episode during the week of July 22nd and after for a week afterwards, the most recent episode will always be pinned to the top of the Facebook group, so you can go on there and reply to that and talk about this subject. Tell us your thoughts. Maybe you had considered how much China and the Asian market has influenced our collecting habits here in America and in Europe. Or maybe you hadn't. Maybe we've opened your eyes a little bit and gave you some food for thought about the Chinese market and this hobby that we collect, both positive and negative. I can't say it's all a great, you know, bed of roses out there. You know, you've got I don't want to say good KOs and your bad KOs, because KOs in general is bad, but there is some great stuff out there. I gotta admit. I think that'll make our show tonight. You guys want to say anything else, Don?
No, it's a good show. Just again, be wary, keep your eyes open, and just check with your friends and use your resources.
Absolutely.
And very good discussion tonight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm reiterate what Don said. I mean, if you guys don't know, if you don't have a lot of friends, ask a Facebook forum. Put it here, even in our own Facebook. Hey, I bought this. I don't know if it's authentic. I guarantee you one of us would know, because we have several that are in our group that actually know the authentic thing versus the knockoff. Yeah, or if you guys come across like a really weird thing that we've never seen before, post it. Yeah, we would all like to know about it.
Or if you see an auction on something on, say, eBay that you are interested in, post the link. We'll take a look at it. We're not going to snipe you on it, so don't worry about that. If you need to, post the link, and we'll be glad to try to help you if we can. We don't mind doing that.
Absolutely. Identify things, understand things about this hobby that we love so much. I know Don's been around a while, and I'm not just saying you're old, but, you know, Don's been around a while. I've been around a while. I've been a collector for 30 years. Don's been a collector for 30 years.
Yeah, I greeted dirt when it showed up for the first time, all right?
And then we've got Brett, who is a dealer. He deals with this stuff. He is informed on KOs. He collects KOs, and he deals in vintage items. So if you want to know something about Transformers, come to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure Facebook group. Tell your friends about us. Tell your friends about the show. We hope that you enjoy our show and want to watch or listen to it each week. Tell your friends about us. Link to us on message boards, on your social media. Tweet us at TFYLP. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, just you name it. We're probably on there.
Tell your neighbor, your mom, your uncle, your cousin.
Your dog and your cat.
Tell everybody what's the word up. So, with a little cameo here. All right, guys, I think that'll do it for this week. I want to thank Headmaster Don, Sergio Garcia, and Plasticon for joining me this week. We'll see you next time on Transforming for Your Listening Pleasure. Again, check me out at TF Expo in a couple weeks. Come visit our sponsor, Captured Prey, there, as well as TF Con in Chicago in October. We'll be there as well. I'm sure we'll be there in full force. Don, you going there?
No, as of right now, I'm not, because I can't make that drive again. That drive killed me last time, and I really don't have the money to fly right now.
It's only about a 5-hour drive for us, so it's not too bad.
It's 11. It's 11 for me.
It's a very rough 20 minutes for me.
And one last thing for everybody. Enjoy San Diego Comic-Con. If you're there, enjoy yourselves. If you couldn't go, it's going to be an interesting weekend to see what comes up. So next week, we might have some more interesting stuff to talk about.
Eat and shower.
And as always, check out tftalk.net. or tfylp.com, same website. Check out tftalk.net. We're going to try to keep it updated with latest news and information and pictures as they come available. Sergio, and he's got him a little crew going on here now. We got some people actually working on it. So join us for your Transformers fix on TFYLP, tftalk.net. We'll see you next time on TFYLP.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.